Hey, how you doing? Daniel Ruiz Tyson is available for Thursday, the 13th of February, 2020, the eve of the cheesiest day of the year. This is episode 219. Hope you're all well, keeping on doing what you need to be doing to keep yourself going. I'm definitely doing what I need to be doing to keep myself going and to try and keep myself out of the man's clutches, but I can't be sure it's panning out as I'd hoped. More on that much later in the show. Battery-wise, battery update, the Zoom 1 should be okay to record a full show. It is an early record here, coming up to 08:45 hours on Thursday morning. I was hoping to beat the workmen who were working below. They're absolutely gutting the flat. Just goes to show how bad the living conditions were for the old neighbours that moved out. And I was hoping to beat the workmen, so I was hoping to start recording by 0800 hours, but just too much admin to do when I get up, no matter how early I get up. And I can now hear the workmen. They're under the kitchen at the moment, which is directly in front of me. I'll do my best to try and eliminate any noise that crops up during the show. Also, because I'm recording much earlier, there might be more traffic noise in the background. There is nothing I can do about these things. And in terms of the show, bigger worries really to deal with in terms of the uploading every week, which I'll come to shortly. I'll try and eliminate the noise, any noise, as best I can. I shouldn't really be drawing your attention to the workman's noise, but I just feel that it needs to be acknowledged. So I've tried to go for the early record. I've got a new setup here. I managed to get the big desk. This is a second take. Appears they are drilling below me. I'm trying to adapt. Well, I have adapted easily, just been thrown by that sudden outbreak of drilling below me. I did think that maybe I ought to go for a nighttime record yesterday evening, but I was flat out trying to do things, and 6 hours sleep in 48 hours prior to getting some much needed rest overnight. But this is going to be the problem recording daytime. These guys, I'm going to have to keep stopping, I suspect. But there are reasons for going for the early record. Uploading issues, I'm going to come to that in a moment, because it's very important that I let you know what's going on. I'm getting agitated just thinking about it, and the throat is going. So I'm trying to keep this editing today as simple as possible. But looks like I've set myself up for some heavy editing the first couple of minutes. So because of the uploading issues, I'm trying to get this show uploaded by before midday, because I'm anticipating more uploading issues. And also, I think that by the end of the day, I might be on antibiotics again, owing to the not new but new to me trainers that I debuted last week. I mentioned on episode 218 that I have a habit of, when I buy new things, not using them straight away, and partly because of time. When I bought these new trainers a couple of months ago, which I needed, I hadn't got around to wearing them until last week. I think they've rubbed the old injury, and suddenly it's that area has flared up again, which is frustrating because it's only last week since I was discharged. So now this afternoon, I'm planning on turning up again in the emergency clinic, because I know the signs, and I do think that I might need some antibiotics. But I'm going to have to deal with the inevitable facial expression I'll see from any of the podiatrists that know me in there. And I think, you know, I've met quite a few of them. The girl I saw last week was brilliant. She was someone that was very important in terms of spotting the inflammation a couple of years ago, which almost led to more surgery. Without her, God knows what would have happened to the foot. The girl I saw prior to her wasn't so good. That may not even be of any interest to you, but it does explain why I'm trying to get this show out by recording in the morning. As I say, I'm going to have to probably stop a few times, depending on what these guys downstairs are doing. I think it might be some weeks yet before I do get new neighbours downstairs. I don't know if it's the landlord who lives on the other side of the world, who, not my landlord, the landlord from the property downstairs, whether he's going to be selling up. He's not a good landlord. Even though I didn't get on with the neighbours that have moved out, I did have sympathy for the way they were living, and the extensive gutting of the property is evidence of how they were living. So I wonder whether the property is going to go on the market. There are no for sale signs outside. There's been no prospective tenants viewing the property. So maybe I just need to savour, once these workmen have gone, maybe savour the time that the property downstairs remains empty. It's all kind of feeding into the growing insomnia, you know, trying to enjoy my evenings. I've got no one downstairs. It's a poorly converted flat, so I can walk around now without any grief. Definitely gone back to my poor sleeping habits, still getting up very early. You know, being a natural insomniac, I was always, for a long time, unless I was with a man, I tended to be a late starter. I'd work at my own pace. The last few years, the last decade really, where I had to find a discipline for the man that I maybe never had before in my life, I came to value early mornings, doing my own stuff, doing the writing before going into the man. And I think that's going to stay with me for life. I'm not someone that can sleep in at all. So always up very early. And that is, I think, when I write best. These days, you know, full of coffee, full of anticipation as to the day ahead. But right now, the way of the old life that I had has come back in, really. The door's been opened and the insomnia has just come back in. And I'm just drinking so much coffee, doing long hours. And I think at some point I'm going to have to find a way to address that. The new desk, well, it's not the new desk, it's the big old desk that was in the back room. It's a great desk, lots of space, most of which now is gone because I'm very disorganized and I still can't find the in tray that I lost on the old square desk. I've given myself a very narrow space in which to get behind my desk because it is a big desk and it means that I am incurring lots of coffee spillages. So that's something I'm going to need to look into. Because of the early morning record, I had the heating on for a bit. It may be that every now and then you hear the boiler switching itself off. It may be that it gets too cold and I have to switch on the Argos Simple Value oil-filled radiator, which is just here to my right, just laying my right hand on it, like I'm a healer laying their hands on a member of the flock. I don't think I'll need it. I'm currently wearing 7 layers. I've got the hat covering the booth on. I'm actually going to take the hat off because I'm very hot at the moment. I thought I might be, given the early recording, that I might be doing it in the dressing gown. Then I thought, well, might that impact on the acoustics of this week's show? So I don't have the dressing gown on. The printer has been set up here on the desk. The printer that will not work wirelessly, even though it's meant to work wirelessly, and I'm tired of calling the manufacturers trying to get them to reset the settings, so I just plug it in now via USB cable, and because I just get tired of carrying it over back and forth, I just left it on the desk, but again concerned about the acoustics, so I've moved it back to the furniture. What is this thing? I don't know what it is. It's not a shelf, very small cupboard, single tier cupboards, and I've placed it on top of that single tier cupboard, having to use it a lot at the moment because printing lots of stuff when I'm doing an editing, extraneous information, no problem. So it's been a frantic week. It's been a frantic 8 days, in fact, which wreaking havoc, I must say, with the Star Wars football calendar. Lots of late kickoffs, particularly in the Champions League. I don't mind them for the Champions League. I've been playing the Champions League fixtures across the weekend, Friday to Sunday. Really not ideal. I think European football should definitely be a midweek thing. Had a late kickoff last night, about 22-15 hours. And that was the last of the Champions League fixtures before it goes away for a break. And that did feel a bit more like European football, late night, midweek kickoff. But I don't want to be playing that late. I'd rather just be switching off with a book and maybe watching something. It's been such a hectic week, such a hectic 8 days, really, that I've not been reading that much. I've not been able to. And that's a concern because, obviously, I'm a bookworm. I mention it very often. But it's also, it works as a sedative, almost. It calms me down. It allows me to just decompress in a way that watching something or listening to something doesn't. You know, in the old days, it would have been maybe listening to lots of music. As I've gotten older, for some reason, that doesn't really do it anymore. Though this last week, I've been absolutely overkilling a little-known duet that I found, Liz Fraser and Jeff Buckley. I've got the Workman now below me. Can you imagine this? Jeff Buckley, Liz Fraser record this stunning song sometime around the mid-90s. And now I've forgotten it. Even though I've played it easily over 100 times in the last week, I'll have to check it. I'm going to check on my phone. But imagine that. They're recording this special song about 24, 25 years ago that is later going to be spoken of by some Little Herd podcaster. And as he's talking about it, as he's eulogizing this beautiful song, he has workmen below him interrupting his recording. That's it. Jeff Buckley and Elizabeth Fraser, All Flowers in Time Bend Towards the Sun. It is a stunning song. I've always thought that in this country, well, in the UK, we have a number of female singers jostling for that top female singer spot, that unofficial spot. And I think in terms of male singers, it's not such a hotly contested competition. I don't think that there are as many great male vocalists in the UK. It's not to say there aren't any, because there are, but not as many as female vocalists. But I think of all the female vocalists that are around, Liz Fraser, for me, I've thought this for a long time, just her work with the Cocteau Twins and some of her solo work and the work with Massive Attack. This song just confirms to me that, in my opinion, she is the greatest of them all. So let's push on with the show, because I am waffling. If you heard last week's show, that was, I thought originally that I'd recorded that on the Wednesday, but I hadn't. That was the week before, and I ran into uploading issues via the platform provider, so I had to finally go down the FTP route, managed to do that, surprised myself, and I thought, at least I've got control over the show. It's important. You know, you're doing a show, you've got to be able to control when it goes out. And then last week, I recorded early. It was a 0900 hours kickoff last week. And it was about 14 hours before the show was out. I couldn't upload it. I was able to upload it via FTP, but then going into the front end of the website as advised, the platform provider's website, I couldn't import the file. Had to chase them. Obviously, they don't like that. I understand that. And, you know, they're not podcast specialists anymore. Bit of drilling there in the background. Let's see where that goes. And for the second week in a row, I had terrible difficulties uploading the podcast. This time, as I say, FTP didn't work, so I had to chase them. Eventually, they got back to me in the evening and said, look, we can upload it for you if you've uploaded it via FTP. And thankfully, they did, and I appreciate that. Obviously, I'm frustrated with the platform provider. I've been with them for 10 years now. They offer brilliant customer support, which, as they said in a message last week, is really best offer support, because podcasting is not their thing anymore. And sadly, and I think they acknowledge that, and I acknowledge that, their company has gone off in a different direction. They were early podcast pioneers, and I do mean early. From the mid-noughties, they got into it, led the way. But these days, they are a site that's not fit for the purpose of podcasting. And that's not a criticism. It's just a fact. And last Thursday was, again, a case of me proving myself to be a pain in their side. And all the while acknowledging that I appreciated their support. They came back. It was a nice message. A few spelling errors, which suggested to me it was a rushed message. Mind you, like me these days with my deteriorating eyesight, the message was full of spelling errors. They said they wouldn't stand in my way. And I felt like a long-serving footballer being given a free transfer by their club, and they're trying to do it in a nice way, but it's very much a case of there's the door. So the platform provider has gone the way of the last relationship. I am looking at my options urgently. I'd like to thank Gemma in Canada for helping last week look into the uploading issues. And my friend John, host of the Thoroughly Good Classical Music podcast, who also took the time to look into it. That's the great thing about Twitter in these instances. You're able to put a message out there for any help from people who understand more than you about a certain thing, and people will come and offer to help. So I did appreciate it. Now, in terms of my options of where to go, and this is the kind of thing, really, that I should not put in the regular show. I suppose, ideally, if there were more than 12 Patreon supporters, I would talk about this in the Patreon segment of the show, because it falls under the heading of housekeeping, and you guys probably didn't tune in to hear this. But I think it's important for you guys because it's going to affect you guys maybe more than the patron supporters, the Undirty Dozen. I've got the option of transferring the RSS feed of the show to my Squarespace site, but I think that's going to be tricky. That's going to take up a lot of time. Audio Boom is a serious option, already in touch with them. I like my Outrider status. I like the fact that I do my own thing, but I can't see too many alternatives right now that are not going to take up a lot of my time. I'm worried about losing the few reviews I have if I do transfer the RSS feed. I'm looking for guarantees. That won't happen. I've not necessarily had those guarantees yet. I've just had a link to something telling me how to do it. But when you've been doing something, a particular show for 8 years, and you've got 54 hard-earned reviews, and there's no sign of any more, you don't want to lose the few reviews that you've got. So I need a few guarantees there, but I think it might be, well, it's looking like I'm going to go down the Audio Boom route, which means there could be some short-term disruption to the show in terms of appearing on iTunes and where you can pick it up, which is why I'm talking about it here on the regular section of Daniel Ruiz Tyson is Available. I need to establish how long the podcast might be off iTunes / Apple Podcasts, whatever we're calling it. I think when I had a very brief affair with Acast at the start of 2016 and I had to do a similar thing, I certainly didn't lose the reviews, and I'm not sure if I disappeared from iTunes for a while. I can't remember specifically, but that's what I'm trying to find out. So from now on, if these upload issues continue, I'm going to try and upload earlier to DanielRuizTyson.com. You always find the show there, the regular show, under latest news every week. And also the last month I've been putting the show back on Mixcloud. There are four shows now on there, four recent shows of the current run. No single plays on them. Another unwanted statistic in this show's long history. So if you're not one of the Undirty Dozen Patreon supporters, do check in at DanielRuizTyson.com under latest news, or do go to Mixcloud until the show appears everywhere else, because those two platforms will be getting the show before anywhere else as long as these uploading issues continue. The obvious problem with Audio Boom is I won't be able to pay for a monthly free account, so the regular podcast would have to carry ads. In the past, I've not gone with them because we've gone into a back and forth as to what kind of ads, because, you know, I don't just want to be advertising anything. And being a small show, it wouldn't be me doing any advertising readouts, so it really would be beyond my control. The Patreon section of the show will always remain ad-free, and those 80 to 90-minute shows, longer in last week's case, will always, as I say, they'll always remain ad-free. And you can find them at patreon.com/DRT. Available. Now, I'm not making this move, or I'm not planning this move for advertising, though I wouldn't apologize for wanting to make a bit more money from the show that can then feed back into my work. I'm not making any money from the Amazon affiliate link on the website, which, you know, just a quick plug here. If you're doing any Amazon shopping online, if you go via the Amazon link at DanielRuizTyson.com, that takes you through to Amazon as normal. Amazon recognizes you've come through my website and kicks back a small percentage of your purchase at no extra cost to you back to my website. And again, that all feeds into just keeping this work online. Come April, I've got to renew the website, which last week there was an almighty jump price-wise, so who knows how much it's going to be this year. I've got something else to renew next week, but that is affordable. That won't be a problem. I've got to be realistic in terms of the advertising, which I think illustrates the fact that this is very much something I'd be doing against my wishes. It's something I'm having to do because I've just got no control at the moment over the podcast going out. It is unlikely the ads will get 99% of you listeners buying anything. We both know that. Let's not beat around the bush. And that, I think, in itself can be seen as proof that I'm not chasing ad money here. Short term, it would mean a bigger workload for me. It would mean a different way of recording to insert ads. It may be that I test things out for a while, a regular show on Monday. I'd rather not do that because it means possibly working over the weekend again. And the Patreon-only show would remain fixed on Thursdays, which I think works nicely for me. I'll have to see, but it is not me chasing ad money. I have to be clear on that. I can't even get you guys to either support the show on Patreon or buy an ebook that's been slashed to £2 on Amazon. So you're hardly going to start buying £800 mattresses plugged by a man who spent the winter of 2018 to 19 sleeping under a desk. You know, let's be clear about that. I am under no illusions and I've got very little credibility in the mattress world. I'm not the right guy to be plugging mattresses. I've got a back that doesn't stop clicking, neck doesn't stop clicking because I wrecked it sleeping under this desk last year. George Costanza slept during the afternoons, I think, in that episode where he memorably slept under his office desk. I did, I think, about 250 nights under a desk. And it is the reason why the kid every now and then still messages me and begins with, are you still sleeping under the desk? So everything, and I do mean everything, went wrong last Thursday. And I do try and find, you know, I'm not a natural blue sky thinker. I'm not going to pretend I am. But the fact is that even when things do go wrong, I am dogged. I keep going because I don't know any other way to be. Losing my thread here. I think I was worried. Well, I am worried that I may have forgotten to tell you something in terms of the proposed move to Audioboom. That's it. In terms of the advertising, it will impact on the recording. I'd want to do it properly. There are lots of big shows with the likes of Audioboom and Acast where the production isn't good. They're advertising everything, but they're not queuing in the ads properly. There's a variation in the levels of the adverts and the actual show content, and it jars. It jars for me as someone who works hard on their production, on the post-production, the boring side of podcasting. So it would mean trying to get to grips with that as soon as possible. And again, it's going to slow me down. So as I say, this is not the way to go. I've got a lot on my plate. I'm happy to commit to the podcast, but I can't be losing an entire day just trying to upload a show. That's really been doing me, and it's very frustrating. I'll keep you posted. I haven't heard back from Audioboom once I hit them with a flurry of more questions. So last Thursday was hectic. Started with the show, started with those upload problems. I gave myself too much to do on Thursday. I had an appointment I had fixed the week before at the bank on Thursday afternoon. I went there still having been unable to upload the show. I rushed off to the bank appointment. I realized I'd forgotten the four-color Bic pen and notebook. Most guys, I think it's the wallet they go back for if they've forgotten it. Me, it's the notebook and four-color Bic. I can't travel without those. And at the moment, I'm breaking in those new trainers. Not new, but new to me, as I said earlier, because I've just kept them boxed up. I haven't worn them since buying them, I think, back in either October or November. By last week, I'd started breaking them in. And being new, they're not easy to put on or remove. And I was running really late. And I realized I'd forgotten the notebook and a four-color Bic in the front room. And I thought, oh, I can't take both shoes off. I took one shoe off and I hopped into the front room in my sock. Wouldn't have been able to do that if there were neighbors downstairs at the moment. So I got the notebook, got the four-color Bic. Then I rushed off, cut through the park in a hurry. Realized as I was hurrying through the park, and I never like walking behind women. I never like walking behind anybody, really. And it's a problem for me because I'm a very quick walker. I'm often leaving too late to get to a place on time. So I'm always hurrying. And also in the modern day, so many people travel with earphones in or headsets on and they don't hear you coming up behind them. So as you walk past them, as you overtake them, which I try to do very, very quickly, they don't hear you and they'll always start. They'll always jump. Well, take your earphones off if you're worried about people coming up behind you. So I think it's complicated things for me in recent years now that nearly everybody, it seems to travel with something in their ears. And as I was hurrying through the park, I recognized that just ahead of me was Miranda Sawyer, the writer and observer, radio and podcast columnist, who has appeared at crucial times in my life. I remember the night before Lopez had died, and I'd already seen her the year before when I was actually sacked by the man, one of the last sackings I had, and I didn't care too much about it because at the time I'd sold my show to Channel 4, so that probably impacted on my behaviour at this particular temp role with the man. And as I was leaving in the rain that day, I recognised a voice talking to someone. I thought, that sounds like Miranda Sawyer, and it was Miranda Sawyer. The following year, the following summer, the night before Lopez died, this was June 2009, I'd been dropped off after the hospital by an ex. We'd rowed, it hadn't been a clean breakup, and I thought I'd just walk back to the Space Daddies where I was living at the time, try and clear my head. And South Lambeth Road that Saturday evening was unusually quiet. It was really, really hot, and it was hot the following day as well when Lopez passed away. I was walking down South Lambeth Road, heading northbound, and the cafes on that road, and there were more 10 years ago than there are now, there's been a few closures. They had, you know, their doors open. They pulled back their foldable doors. And I heard again a Mancunian accent, woman's accent, and woman's voice, rather. And I thought, that sounds like Miranda Sawyer. And I looked across the road, and it was Miranda Sawyer with a female friend. I've never met her, but I knew it was her. You know, I know her work well. I've seen and heard her presenting many shows. She was walking her dog. She had a great hairstyle, I have to say. Back in 93, when I first saw her, she was doing some late-night ITV show. When ITV's late-night lineup was extraordinary, I think it's one of the best late-night TV lineups overnight, I would say. Began in the late 80s, where ITV would almost become the station that it feared to become during the day. And I can't remember what the show was called. I don't know if it was called Soup. I could check online now, but I'm just going to crack on with this this particular story. I'm conscious of the time. I'm conscious of the workman. And I've gone on record before about my admiration for a number of women's hairstyles that I've been happy with for myself over the years, some of which I've already had. I remember being mocked by my sibling when in the spring of 93, shortly before I saw Miranda Sawyer on TV for the first time, my sister asked me what I was doing with my hair as I was trying to grow it out, and I showed her the cover of Bjork's debut album when Bjork had long hair and a centre parting. I said, I'd like this look for myself, and my sibling just started laughing. I never forgot that moment, but I did get that hairstyle for myself, and I've had some other hairstyles that I have admired over the years. Miranda Sawyer appeared on this show with a spectacular fringe, and it was a late weeknight ITV show. She was with the comedian Paul Tomkinson, I think it is, or Paul Tomkinson, another northerner, and as I say, brave television from ITV in the 80s and 90s overnight. Really, really good stuff they used to turn out. And this hairstyle, this Miranda Sawyer hairstyle, was not a hairstyle that I would have wanted for myself, but it was a striking one, and one that I admired, and I think it was a great look. I saw her in the park last week, and I thought, and I'm not being big time here, and I think you know me well enough to believe me on that, but I worried that if I overtook her, she might recognize me from Twitter. She knows I'm local. Got an appointment in 20 minutes that I can't miss. I've got to change my route through this park, because if she does recognize me, if we have that awkward moment where she doesn't say anything, I don't say anything, I'm going to miss my appointment. If there is any person out there that I would not want to miss an opportunity to perhaps talk about the obstacles to my work that I've encountered in that radio world, it would probably be Miranda Sawyer. You know, no one championed my work more than her a few years ago. If you're an indie podcaster, or if you're working on cult radio stations as I was, you're always looking for reviews, and they don't come any bigger than Miranda Sawyer. And it was always not necessarily a boost to the audio career. It was just confirmation that I suppose I needed, that I was on the right track with my work, even if it wasn't being recognized. Here was someone that I admired, who I think isn't necessarily part of that world, even though, you know, sure, she does a lot of stuff for Radio 4, etc., etc., but she's also someone who does champion the underdog, does champion people doing something different to the mainstream. So in that sense, I think she is important to me and a lot of independent podcasters and small-time radio hosts. So I felt I've got to cut through the park. I can't risk anything here. And I cut through the wet grass, longer route in what to me were still new trainers, second or third trip. I was willing myself to fly as I realised that the new trainers were getting muddy. I wanted to save them. Eventually, I got to the bank. The shoes, the trainers were in a state. The show hadn't been uploaded. And I was thinking as I waited to be seen in the bank, I was just thinking this day needs to end. And it actually only got worse. The meeting with the bank guy was very awkward. He was coughing a lot. And obviously, I'm kind of staying up to date, as you probably are, with the spread of this virus. I'm not really panicking. I think I'd be very unlucky to get it, given that I barely have any interaction with anybody. And, you know, currently I've only got out since last Friday for runs. The fridge is nearly empty. I've just been really stretched this week, doing really, really long days. I'd be very unlucky if I was to catch anything. And this guy was coughing a lot. And as we were having the meeting, he was asking me to download the bank app. Another app, which is becoming a real problem now, obviously, because of you know, the stuff I'm doing. I'm having to download apps and I'm having to be accessible at all times. And I'm suddenly finding myself in a situation with the phone that I didn't want to be in. It is hard enough to switch off in this world that has just got too fast, I think, for people like me. And all of a sudden, at all times, I can be contacted. Let's call him the cougher. He said that he would set the app up for me. I'd already noted the cough in very early on. It was an ugly cough. He'd turn away, which is commendable, but he'd cough into his wrist. And then he gave me a pen at some point to sign some paperwork. I used my own four-color Bic. I hadn't hopped into the front room in my socked foot to then take a pen that might have been carrying the virus. He gave me the pen. I didn't touch the pen. I left it on the desk. Normally, for example, when I go to the pharmacy, and this is, you know, which is not infrequent, I'll be there later today, actually. Now, normally when I go into the pharmacy, they'll offer me their pen when I need to sign a prescription, but I always have my own pen, you know, for hygiene reasons. This time, I think I need to be even more aware of that. If you're going to be using other people's pens, you probably don't want to be doing that in the pharmacy, I would imagine. But normally I will just hand them back the pen or just push it back to them, roll it back to them subtly while I've got my own pen. And obviously they might see the four-color Bic and think, is this guy a kid or that's flamboyant? Who brings their own pen? Who will use their own pen even if they have a pen on them? You know, you just take the pen that's given to you. It's a nice gesture. It's a nice moment. I give them the pen back. With this guy, as he turned away to cough again, I quickly lifted the desk up to try and roll his pen back closer to him, but failed. The ensuing loud audio was passed off by me as banging my knee on the table. I faked that. It was a spectacular cough that he had. He didn't acknowledge the cough. I didn't feel that I could acknowledge the cough because then he might think, oh, this guy thinks I've got the virus, which maybe I did. I remember I've told this story before, but not for a long time, I think. And I haven't told it often, to be fair. That I was doing voiceover work at the time of the SARS outbreak around 2002, 2003, and I'd done a voiceover for a Central London travel agent, and the guy, I think, had just come back, the producer had come back from Hong Kong, where I think the outbreak was very strong still, and he wanted me to go in for a retake. I was recording with a girl whose voice was deeper than, and I actually, because it was the time it was, you know, I felt slightly emasculated by that. And I was given a role in this voiceover work that reflected I was possibly seen as the female of the duo. That was disconcerting. But anyway, I had to go in and re-record my section. And I took my time about doing that, trying to make excuses until the guy called me out on it. And there was an email that arrived and it just said, Daniel, I don't have the SARS virus. That was it. Did the retake 16, 17 years on. I am still here. So the guy had said he'd set up the app. He was handling my passport. So already I'm thinking, OK, I've got to wet wipe that when I get in with an antibacterial wipe. Got back to the flat. There was still no podcast uploaded. I cleaned everything that the guy had handled. By then, the show, this would have been around 16, 30 hours. By then, the show had taken more hours to produce last week than I actually have patrons. All the while, even at the meeting with the bank guy, I had the eBay Greedo guy messaging me. This is the, if you've listened to the show last week, I bought the elusive Greedo that's obsessed me for my entire life, the vintage Star Wars action figure Greedo, and it was too loose, so I returned it. Sorry, I put in for a refund. I haven't returned the action figure because they've not covered my postage costs. So this guy was messaging me. And I said, look, I'll weigh this for you. You tell me what your preference is in terms of how you want it sent back. And I've done all the weighing. I've given him all the details. 7 days on, I've still not heard from him. In fact, I heard from him last Friday, but not since then. I'm ready to send this back. It doesn't belong to me. I want this guy to get his figure back. So Thursday, I was worn out. And episode 218 finally came out so late that I wasn't able to wash up after a late snack. It was circa 2,300 hours, and then I felt my sock getting wet as I was washing up. I had a leak under the sink, and I just thought of all the things now. And it was just one of them days where you know very early on the day's run away from you, it's escaped you, you need to focus on putting it behind you the following morning. And I tried to do that as best I could. Friday morning, I was being very proactive. I was being quoted outrageous charges for a plumber, being told about getting a drainage engineer out that they might charge for machinery use, even if they only use the machinery for 15 minutes or 3 hours, the charge would be the same, an astronomical charge. I already had Mickey Blue coming over to help with a desk. And you know what? I'm going to conclude that story on the Patreon-only section of the show. I need to wrap up this regular section. And I'm just going to tell you guys, bear in mind as I say, what is going on at the moment with the podcast uploads. Bear in mind where you can find the podcast in the meantime, should it not be appearing on iTunes. Do please remember you can buy my ebook, Me, 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 on Amazon for just $1.99 at the moment. You can support this show if you're reluctant to commit to the Patreon site. There are different ways to support this work at DanielRuizTyson.com. You've got the Amazon affiliate link. You've got the, you can buy me a digital coffee on the coffee.com. Link on the website, or you can make a donation to the show via the PayPal link at DanielRuizTyson.com, and I'll transfer you the full Patreon show for that week, give you an idea of the kind of stuff that's happening on the Patreon site that the Undirty Dozen are able to listen to. You can follow the show on Twitter at 1607 West Egg, Instagram at 1607 West Egg, Facebook, facebook.com/DRT is available. And of course, we're going to be carrying on the Patreon site. That's patreon.com/DRT available. You'll find the rest of the show on there. It is time for you guys to get your shoulders back. Keep on walking towards the sun. Coming up in the Patreon section, I'm going to be talking about the mania, the manic behavior that's almost overwhelmed me this week. In fact, it has at times. I'm going to talk about a few Star Wars football results, some eBay bidding, going to be giving you my Nectar Points update, and a whole lot more. That's at patreon.com/DRT available. So you've got your shoulders back. I'm really bad when it comes to a sense of direction. I don't know which way the sun is. You can figure that out for yourself. That's going to be a hard edit. I'll be back next week. I'm Daniel Ruiz Tyson, and this week I have been available.